I'd like to keep the home team up at the plate here, at least for the next presentation. Welcome everyone to the great state of Louisiana, hoping you're having a good time here in New Orleans. So I'd like to just share a little bit of information, a little background on our one of our historically strong public-private sector partnerships in the state of Louisiana for many decades, and that's working with our sweet potato industry and how it's benefited our researchers and extension folks at the LSU Agricultural Center and the private sector stakeholders as well. Alan did mention that we've had a little bit of a shift at the Louisiana State University Agricultural Center in the horticulture area, a little bit away from the traditional fruit and vegetable type emphasis, more into the turf and ornamentals to meet the growing consumer demand in that area. But the one crop that really still remains our strength that in horticulture in Louisiana is the sweet potato, of course, our leading vegetable, well known throughout the world and as one of the finest products, sweet potato products in the world. And we do have extended markets not only in the region but throughout the United States, Canada, and in Europe as well with our exported sweet potatoes. So I'd like to share with you just a little bit of information on how this public-private sector partnership with the sweet potato industry continues to benefit all parties. And I'm actually a post-harvest physiologist, so I've worked a number of years on trying to maintain the consistency and the quality of sweet potatoes over an extended period of time so that consumers can benefit from the nutritious, delicious flavor of our sweet potatoes and they can maintain uniform quality throughout the year. There's a lot of physiological changes that go on with sweet potatoes during storage. Of course, here in the United States, we harvest sweet potatoes in the fall, primarily, well, from late August until early November, and then we have to store our sweet potatoes for a number of months to keep the market supplied. Unlike other subtropical or tropical areas where they don't have to really store sweet potatoes, they can harvest them pretty much at any time and have them available. So those of you that may not be totally familiar with sweet potatoes, it is one of the world's major staple food crops. It's the sixth most important food crop in the world, extremely important in throughout Asia, especially China, and also in many countries in the continent of Africa, Latin America as well. It is a very important, a very significant economic vegetable here in the southern United States, especially in the southeast, and also in the state of California. It's actually a minor vegetable compared to some of our other larger crops here in the U.S., but among certain southern states, it's a major impact. Leading sweet potato producing state in the country is North Carolina. They have about 45% to 50% of the entire nationwide acreage. And then that's followed by the state of Mississippi, California, and Louisiana. Other production is in other states of Alabama, Texas, the panhandle of Florida, South Florida as well, and a few other states up the East Coast as well. Sweet potatoes have really benefited by the nutritional value and the health and the nutraceutical benefits that have been delineated in the sweet potato, especially orangefoot sweet potatoes, over the last 10 to 15 years. It is probably the most widely increased growing vegetable in terms of per capita consumption in the United States and in many parts of the world as well. It stagnated for many years, the consumption of sweet potatoes in this country. In fact, it actually went down. We had a per capita consumption of about 5 pounds for the last 40, 50 years, and it went down a little bit less than 5 pounds. But the last 15 to 20 years, it's really picked up. And we're now experiencing about a 25% increase in per capita consumption in the U.S. over the last 15 years, and that will continue to grow. There is a growing market internationally for sweet potatoes, not only from the United States, but from Egypt, from your country, from Israel, from Honduras, some African countries, where folks are appreciating the nutritional value and the flavor of primarily orange flesh sweet potatoes. And so markets in North America, in Europe, and Asia are growing in terms of consumer demand. The sweet potato is also enjoying quite a rich portfolio of diverse edible products, the fresh baked sweet potato, the canned products, but then we have the purees, we have juice products now out of sweet potatoes. But what's really been increased in the last 10 or 15 years have been chips, sweet potato chips, I'm sure you've experienced them, and sweet potato french fries, which have gone mainstream in many of our fast food restaurants and in our food service and institutional markets. So this is really fueling consumer demand. Other edible products, a little bit in fresh cut, sweet potatoes like fresh cut carrots, and of course adult beverages are becoming a little more popular for certain markets, and other markets are actually enjoying the foliage, which is really more nutritious than the roots. So things are looking very favorable in terms of sweet potatoes within the U.S. and also throughout the world. Sweet potatoes are a very diverse crop genetically. There's hundreds, thousands actually, different varieties or cultivars, not all commercial. We have different skin types and we have different flesh types, and they're all they all have their own unique properties in terms of nutritional value, flavor, etc., and value-added products that you can make from them. Here in the United States, our more typical appreciated sweet potatoes would be orange skin and orange flesh, but that's actually a minor type sweet potato worldwide. The vast majority of sweet potatoes that are grown in the world are actually white-fleshed. The outside color, the skin color of a white-fleshed sweet potato could be white, it could be a purple, but generally the white-fleshed sweet potatoes are a little higher in dry matter, and they're more a staple type food crop as opposed to more of a dessert type crop where an orange-fleshed sweet potato would be considered. Some of the increasing markets in the lower right would be purple fleshed sweet potatoes, very high in anthocyanins, very high in nutritional value, used a lot in juices and colorants, and we're seeing a major uptick in consumer demand for purple flesh, even though it's a relative niche market. So lot of diversity in terms of types and also value-added products from sweet potatoes. So if you go to the market, you're going to get a lot more than the traditional sweet potatoes. Of course, historically they've used the word yams for marketing purposes for sweet potatoes, but as we know, a yam and a sweet potato are obviously two different crops, but for marketing it's still often used. We actually do not grow any yams commercially here in the continental United States. But other products that are very important, baby food, one of the most popular baby foods, sweet potato-based products, and the bottom two, the French fries and the sweet potato chips, have really fueled this increased consumer demand over the last couple of decades. So, and that will continue as these value-added convenience-type foods based on sweet potatoes as they increase in popularity. Some of the major fast food restaurants have tried sweet potatoes regionally in terms of as a product line, and they've gone over well, but we haven't quite got the big two, namely Burger King and McDonald's, to have sweet potatoes as a mainstream item. If that ever would happen, we would probably double our acreage here in the United States, because those would be huge, huge markets. So regional, those fast food restaurants have tried them regionally, but they have not gone nationwide. But we'll see if that'll happen in the future. Obviously, the thrust on nutritional value and a little less calories, of which sweet potatoes do have, relative to potatoes, as long as you don't put anything on the sweet potato. So it really is one of the most healthy, nutritious vegetables out there, and so there is a lot of likelihood that some of these larger fast food restaurants will adopt them more mainstream. So sweet potatoes, as our leading vegetable here in Louisiana, have a major economic impact on the state. To put it a little more in perspective, from a nationwide industry here in the United States, the sweet potato industry is kind of, on acreage wise, it really hasn't gone anywhere in the last 40 years since 1975, about the same acreage actually. In fact, 20, 30 years ago, it actually dipped less than 100,000 acres. Now we're back up to around 115,000 acres or so. But what has changed over the last 40 years is there's been a major shift or a major increase in yield per acre, basically doubled, due to a number of reasons. Obviously, we have varieties that are much more genetically stronger in terms of yield potential, and we have better field preparation and production practices, pest management, and also post-harvest care, so we get much higher marketable yields. So with higher yield per acre, although the acreage has stayed about the same, the overall production volume will have an increase. In fact, it's been up about five times over the last, it's increased about five times during the last 40 years. Fortunately for growers, the price per hundredweight, CWT is hundredweight, has increased. That's highly desirable, of course. And it's become a fairly profitable crop to grow now, if you're a good grower. Markets are increasing domestically, not only for the fresh root, but also for the value-added product, and they're also increasing significantly internationally. Our markets in Canada, which has traditionally been our leading export market, has continued to increase. We're starting to sell some to Mexico. But what's really taken off would be that Western European market. Sweet potatoes, particularly orange-fleshed sweet potatoes, have gone mainstream in the United Kingdom. The UK is a big potato-loving country, as most of Europe is, and sweet potatoes were always exotic. Given maybe a half a meter of shelf space, and nobody really knew what they were, and they were grossly expensive, so nobody really bought them. And they were white-fleshed anyway, so it was more for the ethnic communities, the immigrants that settled in the UK. But over the last 15 years, orange-fleshed sweet potatoes, primarily from the United States, have gone mainstream, and in the UK, some other continental Western European countries, they've also gone mainstream where they're not exotics anymore. They are major vegetables given the same amount of shelf space as potatoes would be. So you can imagine the volume of sales and increase in the UK, also now in the Netherlands, a little bit in parts of Germany, Scandinavia, becoming very, very popular. And it's just continuing to increase as people learn to appreciate the nutritional value and the flavor and how you can prepare the sweet potatoes. So that will continue into the foreseeable future, is our export markets of sweet potatoes and their export market value. In fact, the exports, if we look at what has happened in the U.S. exports of sweet potatoes, and again, mostly orange-fleshed, orange-skinned sweet potato, back about 30 years ago or so, 25 years ago, about 1% of our supply of our sweet potato domestic production was exported. Now we're up to about 11, a little more than 11%. That's quite a growth. The export market is becoming very, very huge. And that will, again, continue to increase. We're opening up new markets a little bit now in Brazil and some of these other countries. I was on a marketing expedition a couple years ago to Russia. They're very interested in our sweet potatoes, at least they were. And we'll see how that plays out as hopefully markets will be reopened into Russia. That's another potential good market for sweet potatoes. The future is very bright for sweet potatoes, and we've been beneficiaries of that at the LSU Ag Center. And one of the reasons why we have been beneficiaries of that is because of our historic importance placed on research and extension along the whole value chain of sweet potatoes. We're one of two states in the United States that have a sweet potato breeder. North Carolina State's the other one. A few others had them in the past, but the downsizing and all the consolidations and everything, we've lost many of our sweet potato breeding positions, so we just have two now. And there is no private sector sweet potato breeding. In many of our horticultural crops, obviously we have private companies, the berry industries, the apples, many of our fruit crops and vegetable crops, we have private breeders and private seed companies working on it, not in sweet potatoes. So it's a growing market. Limited research and extension activity, other than a few states in the southern United States, but a lot of private sector interest in riding the wave of marketing sweet potatoes for economic profit. One of the companies that's one of the leaders in value-added sweet potato production is ConAgra Foods, Lamb Weston. There's a few others, Jarrison Plot, McCain Foods, and the consolidation between the Heinz and I forgot who the other one is now, but there's about four or five fairly big agro-processors that have gotten involved in diverse sweet potato type products for marketing domestically and internationally. In 2007, ConAgra, Lamb Weston, they started processing sweet potatoes. Market started to grow here in the United States for value-added sweet potatoes, primarily frozen French fries. And so they were doing all their processing up in southern Washington, the Tri-Cities area, also south of the Columbia River there in Beaverton, Oregon area. Getting them from Louisiana, Mississippi, it's a long haul up there to Pacific Northwest, shipping them or frying them. So I said, okay, well, the market's growing. We better locate a plant down where the action is, where the production is. And that's either it's going to be California, it's going to be Louisiana, Mississippi, or North Carolina. California, you know, a little expensive. The situation there wasn't quite economically favorable. So ConAgra had to make a decision between Louisiana, Mississippi, and North Carolina where to locate a major $300+ million frozen French fry plant. And so a lot of deliberation, a lot of activity going on, but probably the one thing that actually convinced ConAgra to actually locate their plant in North Louisiana, in Delhi, Louisiana, and they opened up in November of 2010, about 5 years ago, was the historic and continuing support that the LSU Ag Center has placed with the private sector, with the industry, with the processors in terms of research and extension. And that was really something that they all admitted up to the CEO that was the factor, the one factor, the deciding factor for ConAgra, a major Fortune 500 company to locate in Louisiana, as opposed to Mississippi or North Carolina, which would have been great states too. They're very good sweet potato producing states. So that's the value of long-term public-private sector involvement and support to the industry. It does come back. We've been beneficiaries, obviously, of a lot of grant money and a lot of support money since ConAgra has located in the state of Louisiana. Our industry and the industry in Mississippi and the industry in Oklahoma now, it's growing a little bit. Southern Missouri has benefited by that new market opportunity of selling sweet potatoes to our North Louisiana ConAgra plant. So it is the largest frozen French fry sweet potato producing plant in the world. In fact, it's actually the only one. It does benefit our industry, but probably equally benefits other states as well. That instead of having to truck their sweet potatoes for processing up to the Pacific Northwest, they can come to North Louisiana. The partnership has generated, again, considerable amount of grant money. We do have a wide diversity of activities here at the LSU Ag Center in terms of all emphasis on all the value chain of sweet potatoes. Again, we have experts. We have a sole regional research station Chase, Louisiana, kind of north central Louisiana, devoted to sweet potatoes. It's the only dedicated sweet potato research station in the United States. And we have excellent faculty and staff up there. They're world experts in production practices, soil fertility management, pest control. We also have our breeder at Baton Rouge that does a lot of work up there at Chase. We have one of the world's leading pathologists, entomologists, food scientists for value-added activity. So that entire team that can address the entire value chain of sweet potatoes, new product development, has meant a great deal, again, in attracting ConAgra to Louisiana, and then they in turn continue to support our research, which is so important as we're being downsized from the feds and also the state government in terms of support for agriculture. Products are quite diverse. Their main product is a frozen French fry up there in North Louisiana. And it's a completely environmentally sustainable plant. It's gotten all kinds of green awards. It's been highly documented. It's very, very progressive and modern. And it employs, I think, around 300 and some people in a fairly depressed area of northern Louisiana. And again, a number of our faculty and staff have been part of that support to the private sector in ConAgra and have been the leaders in the sweet fin industry, not only in Louisiana, but throughout the United States. Just to share you a little bit of information, sweet potatoes are, they change a lot, as I indicated earlier, in terms of storage. The starch-sugar relationship changes. So the color of the processed product might change, might get darker as reducing sugars build up, the fructose and glucose, flavor changes, texture changes. So ConAgra and, of course, other processors, you know, they want consistency. They want consistent supplies, high quality. That's what it's all about in terms of market sustainability. Well, you know, sweet potatoes, they change. So how can we, from a post-harvest standpoint, manipulate our temperature or atmospheric conditions, oxygen, CO2, maybe to tweak the flavor, tweak the color to products that are more consumer acceptable. In terms of French fries in the lower right, folks don't really like the dark colored French fries. They kind of like the nice light golden color. Well, they get dark because certain sugars build up. So what can we do post-harvest wise to minimize the buildup and reducing sugar? So we've been looking at that over the years, and of course ConAgra has supported us because they have a vested interest, obviously, in maintaining a light-colored French fry for their year-round markets. So sweet potatoes, they're very amenable to long-term storage. They are fairly easy to store as long as you have reasonably good temperature control. You keep it between about 13, 14 centigrade, which is around 55 to 56 centigrade. They'll store for a year. Actually, I've had some that store for more than 2 years. They don't taste too bad either after 2 years, surprisingly. But of course, you don't want to store them for 2 years. That's a little absurd. But you can store them for a year in good quality, good flavor. If you have the right temperature control and humidity control. Should be high humidity, 90 to 95%. You do not need to use sprout inhibitors. With potatoes, you often, in many other crops, you have to use certain chemicals to suppress the sprouting. You don't have to use any sprout inhibitors. In fact, there's none labeled anyway for sweet potatoes. They will never sprout as long as you can keep the temperature around about 13 degrees centigrade. If it gets over about 16, they will start to sprout and you have problems. So we've been looking at a number of different aspects of physiological changes induced by different temperatures, different gaseous compositional percentages, oxygen and CO2, different lengths of storage, different varieties as well. Again, trying to maintain the consistency of the end processed product so it's uniform throughout the year. It is a challenge. Variety trumps post-harvest condition in all cases. The variety, the genetics of the sweet potato always are more important in terms of compositional in terms of composition, sugar, starches, vitamin content, flavor. So the variety always trumps the post-harvest conditions, but we can tweak the flavor and the color of the finished product of the sweet potato significantly with certain depending on the post-harvest treatments, temperature, time, oxygen, CO2. We have a very strong breeding program at LSU, a lot of varieties out there over the years. The leading varieties in the United States still come from the state of Louisiana. Beauregard has been our typical one for the last 30 years. We're getting some new ones now. But the genetics are such that the compositional profile is very different between varieties in terms of starch, glucose, sucrose, maltose, And all these sugars have a major impact on, again, the color of the frozen French fry on the chip and also the flavor. So we have to try to identify physiologically the conditions, temperature, and oxygen, CO2, to kind of either shift the carbohydrate metabolism for certain sugars or minimize the change in starch to sugar content. One thing that's very dramatic in terms of post-harvest conditions that can influence ConAgra or other processed products' end quality is the storage temperature and also the oxygen content. I don't want to bore you too much on the details, but the major sugar in raw roots is sucrose, and the major sugar in processed roots is maltose. In terms of sugar content, the lower the oxygen content, especially with sucrose, the lower the oxygen content, you get a significant buildup in sucrose. Also, the lower the temperature, you get a significant buildup in sucrose. So, and if you combine the two, low oxygen with low temperature, you get the biggest buildup in sucrose. So somebody might say, well, but sweet potatoes are tropical and they're chilling injury sensitive. Yes, they are. So you got to be careful you don't overdo it. But you can definitely expose sweet potatoes, and you can really sweeten them up fast for certain markets, processed markets, if you give them kind of a pulse treatment, a very cold temperature for a short period of time. So anyway, we've been looking at this for a number of years, you know, the effects of different post-harvest parameters on market quality of sweet potatoes, again, in response to the growing demand of sweet potatoes and the need from some of our processors in terms of uniform product, a sweet potato product. I will also say, though, that these companies, rather than start their own research program on sweet potatoes, which is extremely expensive. Obviously, quite a few millions of dollars would need to be spent on that. It's in their economic interest to turn to these universities that have the infrastructure and the personnel in place and partner with them. So it's a commensal relationship, and things are working very well. So in summary, strong research and extension programs covering the entire sweet potato value chain, coupled with significant private sector investment in new product development and marketing, will continue to strengthen the industry. Very bright future ahead for orange flesh sweet potatoes internationally. An increasingly diverse market for value-added sweet potatoes, the fries, the chips, the purees, juices, some of these other value-added products. They require different post-harvest technologies. The storage temperature and the time and the oxygen concentration, the CO2 concentration, is different for a chip versus a fry, for a baked product, for a juice product, because post-harvest parameters do affect flavor and color. And so that's why the ConAgra likes to know, well, if we want a light color fry, what are the optimal storage conditions? If we want a darker color fry, what do we do, et cetera? Individual sugar concentrations of sweet potato roots can be manipulated by temperature and atmosphere gas composition during storage. Specifically, it's sucrose. The lower the temperature, the increase in more sucrose we get built up, and the lower the oxygen, the more sucrose we get built up. Significant increases in sucrose content, which is the principal sugar in raw roots, occurs in sweet potatoes with decreasing storage temperature. And again, low oxygen, low atmospheric oxygen, CA storage enhances sucrose synthesis, but decreases the formation of fructose and glucose. For chips and fries, you want the color light. You want low fructose and glucose, and you want high sucrose, which is gives it the good sweet flavor. So it's been interesting. We have a lot more to go, a lot more to be learned, but it's been a very valuable public-private sector partnership at the Louisiana State University Agricultural Center for many, many years. And it, in the end, it's resulted in what we think is still a very viable, strong, economically sustainable sweet potato industry. Okay. So, excellent. Questions, comments?
Thank you. Questions? Well, my wife is definitely a fan of sweet potatoes, and thanks to you. And I know that Texas A&M university, and they came up with what they call an Aggie carrot. The outside
right,
is
yeah.
maroon.
That's right. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the inside is a longhorn because it's still orange. So, seeing the purple sleep kiddo, I'm glad we didn't come up with that. That'd be more good.
We will have a purple and gold sweep tour out pretty soon. That's the LSU colors. Thank you.